Go and pour out your worship. Picture the scene. Jesus is reclining at a dinner table in Bethany. The fragrance of a costly perfume fills the air. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, has just broken open a jar of expensive oil and poured it over Jesus' feet. The act is one of total devotion, extravagant love, and wholehearted worship. But not everyone sees it that way. Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray Jesus, mocks the act of worship. He criticizes Mary, claiming that her offering could have been put to better use. Yet Jesus defends her. He sees the heart behind her worship. This passage teaches us what it means to truly worship Jesus, not with just our words, but with our whole lives. Today, God is calling us to go and pour out our worship just as Mary did. John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honour. Martha served, and Lazarus was amongst those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with a fragrance, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This passage challenges us to examine how we worship Jesus. Do we honour him with true devotion, or do we hold back? Are we willing to pour out everything for him, or do we reserve parts of our lives for ourselves? Today we're going to explore three key truths about true worship from this passage. True worship is costly, true worship fills the atmosphere, and true worship is defended by Jesus. True worship is costly. Mary's worship was extravagant. She didn't just offer a little, she gave everything. The perfume she poured out was made from pure nard, an expensive oil extracted from a plant in the Himalayas. This perfume was worth a year's wages. This was not a casual act, it was sacrificial worship. Mary was demonstrating her love for Jesus by giving him her very best. Jesus taught that true worship always costs us something. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me." The Greek word for give up means to completely disown, to renounce claim to. Worship requires letting go of our comfort, our pride, and our possessions, even our own desires. Charles Spurgeon said, "No sacrifice is too great to be offered upon the altar of our Lord. He is worthy of all we can give, and infinitely more." What are we holding back from Jesus? Is there a cost we are unwilling to pay in our worship of him as our Lord and Saviour? Spurgeon's words remind us of a powerful truth. Jesus is worthy of everything we can offer, and infinitely more. He gave his life for us, pouring out his blood so that we might be saved. How could any sacrifice on our part ever compare? Romans chapter 12 verse 1 urges us, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." True worship isn't just about singing songs, it's about surrender. It's about giving our time, talents, and treasure to the one who gave everything for us. It's about living each day in devotion to Christ, recognizing that no offering is too great when given in love to our Saviour. So let's lay our lives on the altar. Let's serve, love, and live for Jesus. Not out of obligation, but out of gratitude and awe for all that he has done. True worship fills the atmosphere. When Mary poured out the perfume, the house was filled with fragrance. That's a powerful image. Worship is never silent, never invisible, never hidden. True worship affects the atmosphere in our homes, our churches, and our communities. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, "Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God." The Greek word for fragrance means a pleasing aroma, a sweet smell. Our worship should be pleasing to God, and it should impact those around us. That's why corporate worship is so powerful. When we gather as a church to sing, to pray, to lift up Jesus, we shift the spiritual atmosphere. What kind of fragrance are we releasing? Are we filling our homes, our workplaces, and our relationships with the aroma of Christ? True worship is defended by Jesus. When Judas criticizes Mary's worship, Jesus immediately steps in to defend her. John chapter 12, verse 7. "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial." Jesus saw what Mary's worship meant. It was a prophetic act that pointed to his upcoming death. While others did not understand, Jesus valued her devotion. We should never let fear of criticism hold us back from worshipping Jesus. There will always be people like Judas who mock, criticize, or misunderstand our worship. But Jesus sees our hearts, and he honors those who truly worship him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul." No act of worship is ever wasted. When we give our time, money, talents, and devotion to Jesus, he sees, he values, and he defends. So friends, let me encourage you. Go and pour out your worship. Mary's act of worship challenges us to examine our own hearts. Are we holding back something from Jesus? Do we worship him extravagantly, or do we settle for comfortable worship? Is our worship changing the atmosphere around us? Jesus is worthy of everything we have to give. He gave his life for us. What can we give in return? The truth is, nothing we offer could ever repay him, but he doesn't ask for repayment. Instead, he calls us to surrender our lives to him in love and obedience. And Jesus is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our devotion. He is worthy of our obedience and our love. Jesus doesn't ask for empty religion. He asks for our hearts, our time, our talents, our very lives. Jim Elliot, he was a missionary who was martyred for his faith, once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Will we hold back, or will we give Jesus everything because he is worthy? An invitation to faith. Perhaps today you've never fully given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've admired him from a distance, but you've never poured out your heart before him. Jesus gave everything for you. He went to the cross, died in your place, and rose again to give you new life. Today he invites you to surrender your life to him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is one of the most powerful and clear declarations of the gospel in all of Scripture. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This verse encapsulates the simplicity and power of salvation. It's both a confession and a conviction. Jesus is Lord. The phrase "openly declare" means to confess, to agree with, to affirm. This is not a private belief, but a public declaration that Jesus is not just a teacher, a prophet, or a good example. He is Lord. And calling Jesus Lord was a radical statement in Paul's day. The Roman Empire demanded that people declare Caesar is Lord. To confess Jesus as Lord meant pledging allegiance to him alone even at great personal cost. Today, declaring Jesus as Lord means surrendering every aspect of our lives to Him, our desires, our decisions, and our direction. Have you truly surrendered to Jesus as Lord? Is He the ruler of your heart, your choices, and your life? Believe in your heart. True faith is not just intellectual agreement, it's a deep, heart-level belief. Paul says we must believe that God raised Him from the dead. This is crucial because the resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Without it, Jesus would have just been another religious leader who died. But because He rose, He conquered sin, death, and the grave. The Apostle Paul confirms this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. The Greek word for believe means to trust fully, to be persuaded. Belief is not passive, it transforms lives. It means trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Not our good works, not our religious rituals, but Jesus alone. Do you truly believe in the risen Christ? Does your belief lead to a changed life? And the promise, you will be saved. Salvation is not based on how good we are, but on who Jesus is and what He has done. This is the grace of God. Salvation is a gift, not something we earn. Paul emphasizes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. This means that anyone, no matter their past, their failures, or their struggles, can be saved if they confess Jesus as Lord and believe in His resurrection. Have you fully embraced the assurance of your salvation? If you've trusted in Jesus, you're saved, not because of what you do, but because of what Christ has done. Charles Spurgeon once said, "To confess Christ is the natural duty of every believer. Faith that is never spoken is like a plant that never bears fruit." Friends, Romans chapter 10 verse 9 calls us to boldly declare and fully believe. If you've never made that confession, today is the day. Declare Jesus as Lord, believe in His resurrection, receive His salvation. Jesus is Lord. Do you believe it? Then live it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for my sins and rose again. I surrender my life to You. I choose to worship You with all I have. Fill me with Your Spirit and lead me in Your ways. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, welcome to new life in Christ. Now go and pour out your worship that others may see and know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Saviour. May God bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May He bless you all the days of your life. Amen.